What's up, fam, and welcome back to Recap Kickback. It's me, your host, Chappelle, and I am here with another episode of this amazing podcast where we get to talk about all the stuff I want to talk about with all the people I like to talk about it with. And this time, we are in for a treat because we got some content that we all knew was coming. Good Times. Good Times is on Netflix. I believe it's the number 6 show on Netflix. Good Times, Black Again, the animated series. And right now, it is, I think it's set to be a hot topic in these streets. And so we're going to get in front of it and try to be the ears on the ground of the people who did not watch it, right? So here on Recap Kickback, we're going to talk about the first 2 episodes of Good Times Black Again, as found on Netflix. And with me, per usual, my co-host, who I'm sure has a lot of opinions about what we just sat through and what we just watched and potentially enjoyed, question mark, Mari. Mari, welcome. Welcome to Kickback. Welcome back. Yeah.
Yes. I love being like a correspondent. I feel like Al Roker, a weatherman, like boots on the ground, reporting to you live from Good Times Black Again, because, you know, as soon as this trailer dropped a few weeks ago, we immediately were like, oh my gosh, there's so much talk around it, so much vitriol, so much like conversation. And we were like, we gotta watch it. We gotta see what it's about. And it, you know, it is like blackly black. So we were like, we gotta cover it. We gotta see. And I mean, I'm glad we did it, but we got a lot to talk about. We really do.
Each episode is about 20 minutes long. We watched 2 of them, and I'm pretty sure we could talk about this show for about 4 hours. So without further ado, we got to bring in our third correspondent here. Back again, it's Tyrone. Tyrone, what's happening?
What's happening? Light skin again. Hey, you know what? I need, every time you introduce me, I need a Pope Pimp transition. I need an adrenaline rush transition. Like, yes, that's the music I need in my background whenever you introduce me. But we got a lot to talk about with this show. I'm ready to get to it. With this cartoon.
This is the ghetto. We don't have
some. We're in the hood now, baby. You know?
Oh, we really in the hood when we talk about this show.
There's a lot here to unpack. Of course, if you are listening to this on the YouTube page, go ahead and give us a like, give us some comments, let us know what you thought about Good Times Black Again. But if you're listening to this on your podcast, make sure you go in and give us a 5-star review. Go to recapkickback.com and let us know that you're listening and that you're enjoying the content. And then, of course, you can always email us recapkickback@gmail.com to let us know what you want us to talk about, or let us know any of your spicy opinions about this. But yeah, preferably leave them in the YouTube comments so we can get to them. Y'all, last week we dropped Shirley. Prior to that, we dropped Cowboy Carter. It's been a very positive time here on Recap Kickback, but I feel like I will say that there's probably some good and some bad and some in between to talk about here on Good Times Black Again, and I'm dying to get into it with y'all. So Mari, again, it looks like you're itching to say something. Knee-jerk reactions. We saw the trailer. We were like, whoa, what is that? But now you've seen the show. Overall, what you think?
It's so funny because when I saw the trailer and the knee-jerk reactions, I was literally like, I was like, everybody, calm down. This is an overreaction. I'm like, give it a chance. There's so many wonderful Black actors that are involved in this project. Let's at least watch it and see what we thought. Let's not go off of these first, you know, first impressions. Then I sat down and watched episode 1 and 2, and I literally have not stopped something so many times just to check the counter and be like, why is this taking so long? I love adult animation. Like, I'm one of those people who absolutely loves adult cartoons, like, you know, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, Rick and Morty. Yeah. Like, I fall asleep to like Tuca Birdie, BoJack Horseman. Like, I grew up on South Park. I remember watching the first episode of South Park when I shouldn't have. So adult cartoons are nothing new to me, and they're actually like one of my favorite genres. This was so bad. I have never been like, I had to turn it off because my son was in the room, and there was just so much cussing in this. I love a good curse word. I love cussing, but there was just so much. Thank you. There was just so much cussing in this show that I was like, I don't know if we needed all of this. I literally had to turn it off because I was like, JJ, do not repeat that. So many times I had to wait till he was gone in order to continue to watch it, and it just was like, I don't know, it wasn't necessarily funny. It really had me thinking, like, who is this for? You know what I'm saying? Like, who is this truly for? And I could not pinpoint it down. It just being labeled good times is not the worst of it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought that maybe if it had another name to it, then people would have been more open to it. And I think more that they're just mad that the Good Times name is being used and sullied and all that, blah, 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 blah. But honestly, even with another name, this would be something I wouldn't watch. And now I'm starting to think they had to put the Good Times name on it in order to get this controversy and get this drummed up for people to watch it, because I found the writing so bad. I didn't like it.
Okay. Ty, what if we called this show The PJs? Would it hit harder? Would you be opposed to watching it?
Is Eddie Murphy's name attached to it too?
I don't know. There was a real life crackhead as a character in the PJs, and it had a little run.
It had a little run. That show made a little sense. The Black Again, I don't even understand that. I blame Seth MacFarlane. That's who I blame, even though Executive Producer is just a name, it's just a title attached, but I blame Seth. I don't understand what was happening. I was watching it. Why the little baby is a crack seller? Why?
He's selling. It's not just crack. He's selling like pills. He definitely is selling weed. You know, he's a drug dealer of sorts.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, why? I don't know.
Being attacked by baby rappers. Why?
That part I thought was the funniest part of it. Like Da Baby. That I found. Yeah.
The impressions was the funniest part about it. But why though? Like, it was, I know we'll get to it. I'm trying to stay, out of the storyline, but it was just all over the place. I just didn't understand. It took me half the first episode to understand who was the family line. Like, it's him. That's the family line. Like, it just didn't hit. And they threw so much at the show. They threw all of these great actors and actresses at the show. They threw the Twister and the Pope Pimp transitions in it. Mm-hmm. They had the man singing the Good Time song in the first part of the show. Like, they threw so much at it, you know, and you expect it to be good. Like, you expect these actors and actresses that are so great at what they do and everything else to jump in and be like, do we really need to talk about that? Do we really need to do these tropes again? Do we really need to do these stereotypes again? But nobody stepped in. Nobody did it.
Nobody said anything. Yeah.
Nobody said a word. But it's all good. I'm going to keep watching it to the end to see if I can make something out of it. Maybe it gets better. I don't know.
Well, look, I know for this exercise, we watched two episodes. But I'll go ahead and tell you, I watched six episodes. I've seen over half of the season. Yeah, because I was thinking, well, maybe we're going somewhere. Maybe there's something to be mined from this. And actually, after watching six episodes and then rewatching the first two, I see what they're doing. Like, I get it. I have definitely some points of, you know, of interest where I would say, maybe Bob, when you weaved here, you know, maybe do a little something differently here. Mm-hmm. But you do kind of start to get the through line, because they do touch on a lot of issues. But we'll get to that in just a moment. It's been 50 years since the original Good Times premiered on CBS, making history as its first Black American family sitcom to feature a two-parent home. And so it was a big deal at its time, but it also was met with a bunch of controversy and criticism as well, because it was not showing the Black household in, like, the best light, as some people would have said. It was showing, you know, a household of poverty and kind of what it looked like when Black people were struggling. And I think there is a lot of that in this Good Times Black Again reboot. I don't really, but I'm like, I'm kind of like with Mario. Like, you didn't really have to call this Good Times to make it make sense. You could have named it something else. But if you don't name it Good Times, do people go watch it? I don't know. Because I sat through it thinking, okay, this could be something. But the Good Times name was carrying a lot of weight. Also carrying a lot of weight, this cast that, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's been talking about the cast, if nothing else. It was like one of the shining stars of, you know, the trailer was that you see these people's names pop up and you're like, oh, I know these people. These are good actors. These are well-known. These are superstars, essentially. Yeah. If they're involved, it's got to be good, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that might be up for debate right now, Ty. I really do, because I saw that the cast was there. But I don't know if the cast made me feel like, you know, they had a lot of input in what was going on.
Right.
I don't think I expected them to have input. It's less about input. It's more about pausing. That's like somebody just saying, you know what? I don't know. Like, Yvette, say something. Yvette is a fan of good television shows.
Yeah.
Yvette. Please do something.
Do something.
But
hell,
there's a through line, right? There's a through line. So I'm gonna keep watching it to see, you know, what comes out of it. And you know, I would request others to do the same, right? Like work through it. You know, give it a chance. I'm gonna give it a chance. It has a rough start. I will say that for me.
Interesting.
Well, look, Mari, we've seen a lot of shows that, and we talk about this again with black shows a lot, is that one bad episode out the gate, and you're like, well, bad black show, we out of here, bad TV show. But we've seen other shows kind of start off a little rough. Family Guy got canceled like 3 times before it really got its footing. Mm. So maybe there's a world where this could evolve into something better, Mari?
And honestly, the Family Guy is what I was thinking about the whole time here, because I'm like, the parallels of the black family having a misbehaving baby, and Stewie being the archetype of the misbehaving baby that has like kind of, Rugrats kind of did it first, but you know what I mean? But like an evil misbehaving
evil baby.
Yeah. And even I was thinking, I was like, well, if Family Guy can present this New England white family with an evil baby, alcoholic mom and a dumb father, you know, and not feel like the whole weight of representation is felt through that cartoon, why can't Good Times also have like its, you know, ups and downs of representation and stuff like that, and still not have to be the weight of everything? I didn't watch Good Times, so I definitely want to know what Ty thinks about it. Like, I didn't watch the original, so for me, I have no frame of reference of how this ties in. Just for me, just watching these two episodes, like Ty said, it was so confusing, the through line of a lot of the plots. Like the first episode, like the plot is the mom wants to win some contest from the project's building manager, but then like I don't know why the daughter was on a hunger strike, but yet she smelled. I was like, what is happening? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think a lot of the ideas were just, there were just too many. And like Tyrone said, like they just threw too many things at the wall here. Like maybe each character doesn't need their own storyline arc in one episode, because it truly is too much. The father is trying to make money. He can't make money in this cab. The baby trying to run from all the other babies. I can't even remember what the son was doing, but like it really did feel like too convoluted for me. So, but if Chappelle says that it kind of comes back by the end, okay, maybe, but it was really hard for me to get through. Episode 2 was even worse. I was like, oh my God, like it was not my cup of tea personally.
So you made a good point about like the different levels of representation for, you know, black people, right? And the highs and the lows of that. And Family Guy was able to do it. So why can't, you know, this show do it? Right. I feel like it hits harder for black people because in entertainment, it was always the low. And so when you see the low again, it's kind of like, I don't want to see that, right? Right. Yeah. The poverty part of it is fine, but where the highs in the poverty part of it, it just seems like there's a lot of lows in this outside of, and you talked about this, right? How does it talk back to good times? Like, why did they name it good times? All right. So obviously we've got Reggie, that's the grandson of, you know, Florida and God dang it.
John.
You know, John. Yes. John Amos. Right. So he's the grandson. Oh, but I just gave it real.
James. James is that man's name.
I gave the real name. But he's the grandson. And then you've got Junior has the artistic value that JJ had, right? That Dynamite, you know, the artistic mm-hmm. value of that, right? And Marti's character, you know, she went on the hunger strike. On the original show, that the daughter was kind of sassy, right? Was, you know, kind of like an individual, an independent woman, you know, had her own mind. She was strong-minded. So that's the through, that's kind of like the drawback to the characters of the old. And then, of course, the two-parent household. So that's where the line came through at. But then after that, it just kind of stopped and they just had their own thing, you know.
Yeah. Gray, the youngest child, played by Marcy Mine. She's more like an avatar for the middle child. Because she is the middle child, right? So she's more like an avatar for Michael in the original Good Times, I think. Who is the youngest sibling? Because she is a protest warrior, as you pointed out. I mean, there's not a lot of overlap though. There really isn't. They're like hints and they're callbacks to the original, and we'll get into that as well. But yeah, there were some big swings taken with this, and I just think that, you know, like I said, with a friendlier eye, maybe people would be able to digest this better. But also, you know, I think maybe, just maybe, they had to throw something out there, see if it works, and then make some adjustments. Now, do they get the opportunity to make those adjustments? Based on the feedback I've been seeing on social media, people were trying to boycott this, Mari, before the trailer had even dropped good. Like, people have been saying, don't watch this at all, don't make your own opinion, don't check it out, and it just hopefully it'll go away.
Yeah, I don't like, and that's why I said it's like, why are we boycotting something we haven't even watched yet? You know, I'm the type of person, like, I love to form my own opinions about things. If something isn't for me, it's not for me. And even if I don't want to watch it, and I'm not gonna then go and tell people to boycott it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because no matter what, we are still, we've talked about it here, we are still hungry for more Black media and Black content. Yeah. And to not even give Black content a chance, just to me, it does a disservice. At the very least, we should give it a chance, form your own opinion, and then if you don't like it, just go on about your day. You know what I'm saying? Because even if I'm gonna sit on this podcast and said it wasn't for me, I'm not about to tell everybody else here, don't go and watch it. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna tell you my thoughts on it. Chappelle's gonna say his thoughts. Ty's gonna says his thoughts, and then you can form your own opinion on if you then want to go and try it or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't like that concept, because we don't have a lot. And yes, we can support the good stuff, and yes, we can, you know, not like the bad stuff. But I'm not about to sit here and take jobs away from some of these, like, really good actors and voice actors and stuff like that, because it's just not my cup of tea. Because I was looking, I did find a couple tweets that people were like, okay, and it's not that bad. It's for somebody. It's for somebody. So just not me.
And that's not censorship either, right? It's like, hey, you can criticize it. That's perfectly fine to criticize, because I'm about to do it. You can criticize it, but you don't have to, like, tell other people, you know, not tell other people about the criticism. You don't have to tell other people, hey, just because I don't like it, you shouldn't even try to watch it, or you shouldn't try it. Because, like you said, other people might like it. And other people who, like, I didn't see the trailer. There might be some people out there who haven't seen Good Times. And so they don't need to see the through line between the original and this one. For me, I was looking for it. And that's part of my criticism. You know what I mean? But others might not need that. So they just see this as an adult animated show or cartoon. Mm-hmm. And then they just want to, you know, go from there.
Yeah, and let's talk about it from top down. We got Seth MacFarlane. This is him doing what he does best, animated adult cartoons. We've had Family Guy, American Dad, The Cleveland Show. Obviously, American Dad being the blackest of those three. But here he's going to tiptoe into Good Times. Yeah, I saw The Cleveland Show as well. Yeah, I did. But like I said, American Dad, the blackest of those three. Yeah, quiz me on American Dad, and I will dazzle you with how black that show is. It feels like they leaned into a lot of stereotypes that people really aren't a fan of for Good Times Black Again. And like I said, we will get to those in just a second. But the cast is something that we've highlighted several times. We have J.B. Smoove as the leading man in this show. He's Reggie Evans' grandson of James Evans from Apartment 17C that we've seen in the original Good Times. They're in the same apartment, essentially. You know, it's the same house. So they try to keep, you know, some mirroring there. But we see very early on that, you know, they're making hints at things that we as black people kind of know. So James's grandson here, Reggie, he's in the shower. He's singing the Good Time theme song. Ty, he gets the lyrics of the song wrong because nobody knows what they're saying. When they're hanging in the he messed it up.
Hanging in the child line.
Yeah. So, you know, they're trying. They're trying to speak to, you know, to us. They're giving us some nods and winks. Also, we have his wife, Beverly Evans, played by Yvette Nicole Brown. Tyrone mentioned earlier that Yvette Nicole Brown is a TV person. She loves some TV. She likes good TV. She likes The Walking Dead, so she also likes bad TV. But Yvette Nicole Brown is somebody who I always turn to as a personality. Mari, yeah. Were you happy to see her here in this role?
Yes, and I have her quote here from her on Twitter, her talking about it and responding to somebody who was just saying, like, you know, don't listen to the haters. She says, thanks for giving us a shot and taking the 10 episode ride. We are trying to say something with this show. It's a total piece of work, not a trailer or an episode. No one has to watch all the episodes or any at all, but I'm grateful for those who did before attacking me and my integrity. So, I mean, yeah. So I think that sums up everything we've kind of said here. Like, I'm more drawn to the body of work because of the integrity I know of these actors. So that's why I gave it a shot. That's why I'm going to give it a shot. Now, will I continue to give a shot? I don't know, because now I got to watch it at certain times and I can't. Yvette Nicole Brown is somebody who I love to follow on Twitter. She's somebody who her opinions hold a lot of weight to me. And I think she did a great job in these first two episodes and the voice work. Now, what she was given, again, that second episode really pissed me off. But like, I like having her here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, like I said, I've seen a little bit more than y'all. So I have some hints of things coming and we'll talk about those later. But yeah, good to see Yvette Nicole Brown here.
Do you agree with what she's saying without giving the what it is? Do you agree with what she said?
Yeah, I think the show definitely has a point of view. I think it does. I think it's trying to say something. I think that, again, if you watch it in snippets, you probably don't get that. And I'll probably reserve that same criticism for a movie called The American Society of Magical Negroes. I've seen the movie. I would love to talk about it here on Recap Kickback, but I also think that if you only watch the trailer and if you don't sit through the whole movie, maybe you miss what they're trying to do. Whether or not they hit the mark or not, that's a different story. But, you know, the point of view is very clear on Good Times, especially a few episodes in. Also, cool. You have Jay Farrow as Junior Evans. Tyrone, you've already mentioned some of the impersonations here, but, I mean, that's what you get when you have Jay Farrow.
Yeah, not a huge Jay Farrow fan in general, but he does a great job with impersonations, right? That's his stick. That's his shtick. And it always is, and it always will be. And I think he tried to get away from it, but at one point, I think he had a movie with like Cat Williams or something like that, where he did a little bit, but it was more of just him acting. But I think he realized that's the thing that keeps him having a job. So he stuck with it.
Yeah. I love seeing Jay Farrow anywhere because, you know, he always looks like he's very happy to be in the building. And so I was like, oh, yeah, Jay Farrow is going to give this his all. And we heard some really good voices out of the gate that I would have to assume are a lot of him. So some of those babies, yeah. The baby, little baby, all of that. I'm blaming Jay Farrow. Yeah. Yeah. Also in this, from Black-ish, a show that I know all of us are very familiar with, Marsai Martin as Gray Evans, the middle child here, the activist. Mari, Gray Evans is supposed to be our Huey Freeman in this. You know, she is supposed to be the person who she sees society for what it is. She's surrounded by poverty and foolishness or whatever, but she's going to take a stand at the detriment of her own childhood, essentially, Mari. And so I think that's what they were going for here. But it also surprises me because, yeah, she got a little bit of a potty mouth. And I'm like, that's my niece. That's that's Marseille. That's Diane from Black-ish. Girl, she's 19 years old now. This grown woman. And I was like, damn, I'm old. That's all I kept thinking.
Very that. Like she's the character that, you know, I think is the most evolved in a sense of like she's the social justice warrior. She's the Black woman who's taken on all of the causes, you know what I'm saying? And you know, in the first two episodes that I saw, I was like, they were treating her like she was dumb. So I was like, what is this? Like, what are we trying to say? Like, what are we trying to say here? You know what I'm saying? So again, maybe I should have prepared better and watched all of them, but it was hard. It was truly hard for me. But I liked Marseille. The one line where she's like, we're Black, the struggle will be here tomorrow. Like, honestly. Yeah.
Highlighted in italics, in bold.
Yeah, like, I was like, damn, she ain't never said a lie. So it's, you know, she's doing a great job. I'm so happy for her. Like, I'm just so happy to see her progress in her career.
Yeah, I respect her.
Yeah, she came a long way, man. This is she, but Diane has always had a point of view. Marseille Martin, since Black-ish, you know, we always gonna see her speak up. And so this is fun to see her in this role. Tyrone, we talked about Dalvin, the drug dealing baby. He will be the point of contention for a lot of people who decide not to watch this. A lot of people who saw the trailer and said, I'm out. A lot of people who will watch episode one and be like, I'm done with this. This is Slink Johnson. I had a good laugh when I realized who this was. I was like, wait a minute. Black Jesus? Is that you? Yeah. You know, this... Dalvin is an interesting character. He is a baby, yes. He's gotten put out the house because he is dealing drugs. And Reggie Evans refuses to let a drug dealer live in his house. And so we will see that Dalvin is somebody who is, I think, pretty much, this is a Black TV trope. You know, we see a lot of times, like, you selling drugs, you got to get out of my house. We see it, look at BMF. You know, we've seen this on a ton of different shows. Where that, and then that person is still selling drugs and still trying to give back to his household. We saw Franklin deal with that on Snowfall. You know, like, your drug dealing money's no good here. It's like, yeah, but we're poor, so why don't you take the money? We'll see a lot of that from Dalvin, Tyrone, but I mean, he's not Stewie. This is a different type of baby, Ty.
This is a different type of baby, and like you said, this is the point of contention. This is the hardest one to swallow, because while Stewie is evil in a lot of ways, and I don't know all of the background of Stewie, so y'all might have to help me out with this one. I think having the baby is the one that's selling the drugs is really, really tough. Now, the story that you can pull from it is obviously, hey, they start young, which is true. You're doing it in a funny way. So you might not see everybody might not see it that way because you're trying to make some, you know, some hilarity out of it. But I don't know. I wish they would have gave it to some other child. That's kind of where my head is at. I'm cool with having the drug dealer because it happens, but give it to the oldest one, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I'm okay. I don't mind it being the baby, and because it's the absurdity of it all. I think that's, I mean, if we're looking for satire here, that is supposed to be the in your face satire, like that it is literally a baby on the corner selling drugs. I mean, that is a Dave Chappelle skit, you know, basically. But again, it's how was it executed? correctly, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's going to be the larger conversation.
Right. Who is this for? That, you know, like, who's the audience that you're presenting it to? Where, how far reach are you trying to go with this? It's on Netflix, so it's going to reach a large portion of America. And what type of story are you, and beyond America, what type of story are you trying to tell from it? And what do you want the audience to learn from it? Is kind of where my head is at. So I get the satire, absurdity, and all that stuff. Are we teaching a lesson? Or are we just trying to be funny? You know,
exactly. That's
what I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's probably where a lot of people will take pause, is that if you are not sitting in this saying, this is satirical, this is satire, it is supposed to be funny, but it's also supposed to tell a story or deliver a message in a funny way, right? Like, satire is not just making fun of something. It is like, hey, I'm making fun of something, but it needs to be smart. It needs to be like, oh, okay, I can see that you're making fun of this thing. You're not telling me the story of a drug dealing baby. You're probably making a larger commentary about drug dealing, like you said, Ty, with them starting a lot younger, and even what would cause this baby to go do the drug dealing. And so there's probably a lot to unpack there as well. There's some other tangential cast members. We'll see Delphine as the landlord / president of the projects. She'll come up a couple times. There's some talking roaches, which, again, I think if you come from poverty, you don't need to see talking roaches to be like, hey, I kind of, you know, whatever. You're like, I'm good on this. But yeah, that's the cast. Those are our main characters. And then we dive right in to some shenanigans. Now, Mari, I know you said in the first couple episodes, you really weren't feeling the Gray storyline, the youngest daughter, the middle child. Coming soon. If you get to episode 3, I believe, she's going to have her first period. And that is going to be a conversation. And it's very reminiscent of something that you might see in like a Big Mouth or like a Tuca and Birdie.
I love Big Mouth.
Yeah, but it gets into very much like shaming her for her body and saying like, hey, you know, historically women were told to be ashamed of these things. They don't talk about having the periods, and she's told now you can't use a tampon, you can't do this, that, and the other. So like I said, it gets into like deeper conversations, but I think out of the gate, starting with these two, they were trying to like soft sell us, kind of like throw you everything, like here's a little bit of what you're gonna get, and then if you don't like that, you probably won't keep watching. I would argue that they probably should have started with a different couple episodes. But let's get into the ones that they did start with. Now, this is the number 6 show on Netflix. So I've said before, Netflix pushes things to the forefront when they want them to. And then sometimes people actually be watching them. I'm dying to find out which one is true. But this one is starting with Junior. Junior has painted Black Jesus on the wall. And this is a direct callback to the original Good Times. JJ had brought in a Black Jesus painting. And so Bev, mom here, she is not feeling Black Jesus at first. But by the end of this, she is making some cries out to Black Jesus to come so that she can win this beautification project so they can get 1 month of free rent and 2 months free of roaches, Tyrone. And yeah, that's our storyline for episode 1. It's pretty bleak starting off.
You know, I that's one of the things that I got to give them some props. It's one of the things that I appreciate about it. I even like the transition of, instead of him painting on a canvas, he's painting on a wall. That's very modern of how, you know, you would expect the generation to utilize their artistic value and things like that. So I appreciated that part of the story and how they brought in the character and how they were quick. What I also appreciated about this first episode is, even though, you know, they all had kind of different storylines you were trying to tell them, it didn't feel like an origin episode. Those are usually typically super slow and, you know, hard to kind of like entertain. It was just a lot of movement in it, but I do appreciate how they brought in the characters and just told a story without it being kind of slow. Yeah.
Yeah. Another person that we meet kind of fully formed is Dalvin, the baby that we've talked about so much. He's a breastfeeding hustler. Okay. He's on the block. And he is accosted by several other famous babies that be on the block. The Baby, Lil Baby, and Baby Mari. the little baby took me out. That was the one, because when I heard the impersonation, like that's when I was like, all right, I could laugh at this. This is funny.
Yeah, and I the funny thing about these first two episodes, I think everything in these first two episodes were like the stuff that was shown in the trailer. So like, I as I was watching, I was like, all of this stuff that this was shown in the trailers, this is from these first two episodes. And I don't know if it's like not leading with your good foot or what, but like, I just thought that I did find that part funny. But I also was like, what black mama don't worship black Jesus? Like, I don't understand that part was kind of funny to me too, because I'm like, every black mama I know got black Jesus in their house. So I was very surprised when she wasn't right behind worshiping black Jesus. But Dalvin, we're right off the bat, we're introduced to him on the corner selling, getting shot at, having to come back home, and they set up his relationship with Reggie and how the dad doesn't like the drug dealing. So like, I'm still trying to piece how I feel about that dynamic and that relationship in a sense, because like, you know, he's not condoning it, so he's like trying to kick him out, and then it's again the absurdity of it being a baby. It's just all very interesting.
It's super typical. It's super typical. The daddy don't like it. The daddy get kicked out. I think Chappelle talked about this. The mama's like, no, don't kick my baby out the house. I still like, right. The mama don't talk about it. The mama tried to love the baby. You know, that's so typical. So typical.
Yeah. And it's always her baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you know, you can never not be your mama's baby. It's one of those things. Well, I think there's a lot of hinting to that. But Mari, to your point about Black Jesus in the original Good Times, Florida Evans, you know, the villain of the first series, she was not a fan of Black Jesus. That's and so funny. She threw a whole ass fit when JJ showed up with Black Jesus. She was not okay with it. And so this is a callback to that. But I think it's a good time to talk about why the baby is on the block. These people are poor. This is poverty. These people are so poor that the water heater got up and walked out. He said, y'all not paying the bills, baby. I got to go. And he did. He left them. So now they don't got no hot water. They got roaches. They're struggling to win this beautification project because they gotta cover up all the grout. They got to get the mattress off the floor. The baby is poor. And so the baby's on the block because he's trying to change his life. Now, of course, daddy's not a fan of drug dealing baby. But, I mean, what would you rather have? Money or not money? And that's, I think, the argument we always see on all these shows. We talk about it on BMF, Tyrone. When we watch, even in the pilot, we see, okay, we got this drug money coming in. Clearly, these kids are selling drugs because they got gold chains, they got nice cars, all this other stuff. But the family's behind on rent. They're about to get put out the house. They're sharing milk, Ty, in their cereal. Remember, like, give me some of your milk from your bowl so I can eat my cereal, which is poverty, but that's wild, right?
That is wild. And I think what we're missing from that story is what we see in BMF is they see the drug dealer adults having the bins and having the chains and dressing well and such. And so they aspire to be that and to have that. We don't see where the aspiration comes from. We just know they're poor and he don't want to be anymore. But do you see somebody that's doing what you're doing as a baby that's going to make you not poor? Or you just realize that that's the thing that you could do to not be poor, right? That's, you know, that's the part I think we're kind of missing from this is what does the baby see?
Yeah, well, Dalvin is drippy because he got a gold binky. You know what I'm saying? The pacifier is gold. The man is dripped out. I mean, the baby is dripped out. And so you look at him, you're like, no wonder why this kid is on the block, because everybody else that he knows is in poverty and he's trying to make changes. I mean, his dad is a professional cab driver who, over the course of two episodes, we will see have to chase down a nun. He will get paid with fake money. What is a $24 bill? Right. He gets paid in sobriety chips and the biggest scam of all, Bitcoin. And So there's a lot going on. So I really think that if you start saying, like, you know, instead of saying, why is there a drug dealer baby here? Say, why is the baby forced to deal drugs? Let's really get into let's dive into the social issues that led this baby to the block, Mari. Yeah, let's get to the why.
Yeah, I mean, again, though, those are all like situations that were hilarious to me. But it was just so chaotic that I couldn't really sit with them. And maybe maybe this is a little off topic, but how do y'all feel about the animation style of this? The animation style, something about it is too much for me. Like,
I think chaotic is the right word. I think it's very busy.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's very hard because there's just so many colors and yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah, I did think seeing Reggie like trying to provide for us, and he's like, I'm gonna go drive a taxi. I'm gonna get enough money to come back, and so we can do whatever you need to do. And then just to see him get absolutely no money, I was like, oh man, that has to be rough.
Yeah. It's bad. It is bad. It's bad all around. But I mean, this is the struggle, right? This is the struggle that they're in. And so, like, you see the people who are trying to do the normal, I have an 8-to-5 job thing,
right?
And like Reggie, and it's not paying off. So then you see the alternative is the baby, and Dalvin and his dad will never see eye to eye because Dalvin don't want to be poor, and the dad doesn't want to raise a drug dealer. And so we have this big battle between the two of them. Let's see. Mrs. Gilroy is dead. She wants to be remembered as a DJ. I had a good laugh at that. they got the corpse of this lady. They nice her on up. I guess this is Bev's best friend. She is a stylist, and she's also doing photos for people. She basically do everything in the hood, y'all. Which again, it's just a bunch of hustlers, Ty. You know, when you put people in this level of poverty, at some point, y'all haven't gotten that far, but at some point there will be a ladder made of wigs and weave that it takes to get to the roof. So, you know, these people making a way when you can, making a wave when you can. Ain't that what the lyrics say?
Yeah. Making a way when you can. Yeah. Yes, though. It goes back to, I guess, my original question is like, what are you trying to tell? And that's why I implore people to keep watching, because I want to figure that out for myself too, right? But yes, you know, when you are in the projects, when you are in the hood, there's different things that you got to do that's outside what would people call or society call the norm to be able to get by or to make a way. And so you're going to see all of these characters do it in some form or fashion. Even the grandson is the cab driver chasing the nun and climbing the fence, right? You can, I like that part of the story because you can see how much stress this 9-to-5 job puts on him. And they introduce PTSD and that's even funny because he didn't even know what PTSD was, which is that's a real thing. People like in the Black community, a lot of people just don't know what PTSD is or don't understand it, right? They obviously at this point have heard of you call it an acronym or whatever. They've heard of it, but they don't understand all the things that come with it. And so for them to make that funny by him calling it PSS, instead of PTSD, I like that type of entry. So I'm hoping that the rest of the series does exactly that, right? In just a better way. Yeah.
Yeah. That gets into episode 2, Black of Focus. And it is very much about mental health. You know, it is speaking to PTSD as or this dog pissed that showing up as an emotional support animal to this person who is going through a level of stress from poverty and struggle and all that other stuff. But also we see them tackle Junior, the oldest son, his mental health issues, right? Because he is lacking focus. They say this kid is under so much stress from just being poor that it's hard for him to focus. And we see that inside his brain, creativity has taken control. So whenever there's something time that he needs to focus on, creativity shows up, and all his focus manifests itself in the form of pictures and paintings and colors and stuff and drawing, where he really should be focusing on math. And so at some point he will even get medicated. Mari, I'm telling you, the show has a point of view.
Yes. However, after we get through the kind of like painting how his what could be assumed is like an ADHD or ADD brain focuses or how it doesn't focus. The storyline is like, oh, how he had to go and get pills from the street dealer. Okay, maybe mm-hmm. because they can't afford to go through the right channels. Maybe it's a call to how a lot of people with mental health have to self-medicate.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end, it's just like, oh, we're sorry, we put you on medication. Oh, you know, it's fine, we'll figure it out. Like, it's like, oh, okay, we were right there, and then we pulled back. And even with PTSD the dog, it was like, oh, PTSD the dog is actually really helping Reggie out. Cue Beverly getting jealous of the dog, having to then have sex with her husband in a very weird, very graphic animated way.
And the booty jiggle was...
That booty smack was wild. I did
not need to see any of that. And culminates with her being like, okay, get rid of the dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, mm-hmm. we're addressing these things, but then what is the ultimate payout of it? You know what I'm saying? What are we ultimately saying about it? Are we ultimately saying like, yeah, Junior needs help. Junior, we're acknowledging Junior's diagnosis, but now we're just going to act like it doesn't matter. Like, are we getting him classes? We're not, because clearly we're saying we're not going to go through the medication route. Reggie's PTSD, it's okay, it can be solved with sex, you know what I'm saying, and spending more time together. Like, what are we really saying? Like, we're getting to the edge here and we're bringing things up, but then how is the final testimony being spread to me?
So mm-hmm. I agree with you on pissed, right? How they got rid of that just by having sex, right? I agree with you on that part. That's not how you handle stress. not long term, right? But I slightly disagree with the mental health from Junior, because what ended up happening from that is it created a monster, right? This medicine created a monster and it reduced his creativity. And so it seems like the story that they're trying to tell there is you don't need medicine to solve that. Maybe people agree or disagree with that. Maybe mm-hmm. it's just, all right, we need to find a way to enhance or pull out more of the creativity and approve of that and celebrate that and put them in a space where that is. But that's why I said I slightly disagree with you on that, because I uh-huh. agree. They just went super surface level on it, right?
Right.
We created this monster by him taking this Adderall or whatever it is, right? Let's bring the creativity person or the character back in his brain. But once you bring him back, what's the next step?
What's the next thing? Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, the medicine is the answer. I'm just saying, okay, that's a great leap. We're acknowledging his okay. problem. We're trying to treat it. The original treatment doesn't work, but now what? You know what I'm saying? Like, but now what? That's the thing. Okay, creativity is taking over, but how are we going to manage his actual diagnosis
going forward? Yes, I got
going
you.
Forward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
those are the conversations we actually need to be having. You know what I'm saying?
Do we want this to do it? I guess that's the question.
I don't think this is that show's point of view. I think this show is here to remind you.
Getting that close.
I think this show is here to remind you of the very thing that stops Black people from making those leaps into health, right? It is these things. These things are not foreign. This show didn't make up the idea that people would be, opposed to taking medicine, even though they know the medicine works. You know, we see that Junior says, I don't like the way it made me feel. And so they said, well, we're not going to do that to you. And that is as an educator, that is a very honest response to medication that I've seen time and time again, where it's like, your kid can focus and get good grades, but if he don't feel good doing it, you're not going to make him do it. That's your kid. Right. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you feel like it stifles them and their creativity and all this stuff. And the kid's going to advocate for themselves as well if you let them. And they're going to say, I don't want to do this. And so what does that do? It leads back to where we were. Junior has failed the 10th grade 3 times, and he's probably going to fail again. But here's where we are. We see Reggie as a cab driver say, I'm already poor. and uneducated. And now I have stress. You know, I have anxiety because of all these things. And those are honest statements. So you expect this poor, uneducated man with all this and this mental health issues to make a good decision for his family when it comes to medication or even for a stress dog? Probably not. It's not realistic. What's more realistic is for these people to go back to doing what they were already doing. And I think that the show, where the show could say, and then they made these changes and they started to move closer to getting out of the hood, the show is really saying this is all perpetuating by, you know, itself. You know, this is all leading it, like the system is leading these people back into the same patterns that they were already in, because their Bev should not have had an issue with this dog. Right. But what she started to see was that, dang, she felt like her position as the wife was to be this stress reliever for this man. When in reality, therapy would be nice, what do they call it? What do they call these dogs? These mental health dogs or whatever. Service dogs. Yeah. I actually sat next to a service dog on the plane last weekend. I'm not even joking. Sat next to a service dog. And the whole time I was thinking, you could just let your dog just be on your lap on the plane. I just got to sit next to it. I don't have no say so in this. But in my head, I was thinking, well, at least you're fine. I don't know how you would act without the dog. So, okay, cool. I'm not a dog person, but if it'll keep you from doing something weird, okay, fine. I'm down with it. But it did take me a minute, and I don't know if it's because of how I was raised, but it took me a whole minute to be okay with it. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, is there something I can do about this? Like, no disrespect, but I ain't asked to sit by no dog. I'd rather sit by the baby, you know? And so, it's just, I think those things are probably new. I think those things are probably something that you don't see. I've been in a lot of hoods, and I have yet to see service dogs. You know, I've seen blind people in the hood without a dog, and they need a dog to see, to walk. And I've seen them just wandering the hood with a stick. That's it. I've yet to see a service dog doing service in the hood. So I, you know, this thing, while it was a moment, a Band-Aid, even for the moment for Reggie and even for Junior, it's also realistic for this Band-Aid to go away.
It is, and it's realistic on how he found it, because we just talked about it, right? They don't have the means to be able to go through it through the proper channel. So it was a stray PTSD dog. That's how he got it. So maybe the show angle is, let's introduce these things that maybe we don't talk about enough and then intrigue people to go research it on their own. And then that starts a different conversation elsewhere, maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and we talked about jealousy a little bit too, Mari, and you know, Bev being jealous of the dog, it seems absurd, but what's even more crazy, and I'll say crazy but more like wild to me, is that we really dive into it's like when Gray is jealous now that her brother is no longer the dumb one. He is going to get good grades now that he's focusing, so Gray spends her time in this episode trying to sabotage him, even flushing his pills. She had the opportunity to take one herself and focus even more, and instead decided to sabotage her brother so that she could be the one at the top. This is like the crabs in a bucket thing, Mari. It's very real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of laying out all of these issues that we face here. And it's like, it's not a pretty picture. You know what I'm saying? It's not a pretty picture that's being painted for the realities of people who are living in the projects and stuff like that, and who are struggling like that. And Gray's character, I need more. I, again, I'll see if I continue, I'll let everybody know. But I need to know more of what the drive was behind that. I mean, I get it, just jealousy of not being smart, but still, like, it's like, but that doesn't jive with the rest of what I thought we knew about the whole activism and stuff like that. So it's very interesting.
Yeah,
you know,
go ahead.
I'm glad we're talking about it, because I'm gaining a newer respect for it in our conversation, mm-hmm. actually. And I've seen this with folks who are involved in activism, is there's a lot of pride that's attached to their activism. And if somebody is doing something in the household that makes them shine more or shine less than the other person, then that comes out in different ways. And that's what we saw that here. Just even with Beverly, instead of it calling them a dog, they called the dog a bitch. Which that is proper. That is obviously a call to true jealousy that would happen in the household with the wife, right? So there, I'm gaining a newer respect for it, right? Because I think I recognized that in the moment, but I didn't fully realize it until we started talking about it. I was like, oh, okay, I get what they're saying. So give it a try, folks. Give it a try.
and honestly, like it's absurd. I think the absurdity of Bev being jealous of the dog is absurd, but it's true. We've seen this. You can see this on social media right now. I think mm-hmm. of that lady on TikTok, that black lady on TikTok who does the facial stuff for her dog, and she pampers her dog, her gray pit bull, and her comments are just full of people like, why is she doing all this for a dog but not doing it for her man? Oh, mm-hmm. You know she ain't got a man because she's spending all this time with the dog. Plot twist, she's like gay and married to her wife. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's true. People will see that content, that content of her just like pampering her dog and making her dog feel good and talking to her dog and the dog, you know, being the cutest thing and just sitting there and being like, oh, but you ain't got nobody in your life, I bet. You know, it's mm-hmm. wild.
These comments are not new. Like you said, Mari, we see them. Yeah. We see them in the dark corners of social media that we like to ignore. We see these comments. So it'd be absurd to say, hey, look, this is so outlandish. Like, is it really? Yeah, there's a moment where Bev's homegirl says, baby, you gotta be the top bitch in that house again. And exactly. I said, whew. It sounded like, that came from somebody's soul. They would tell you, shut this down, because your place is to, you were supposed to be this person, this stress reliever for your husband. Why would he need therapy? Why does he need a service dog? Why does he need medication when he has you? You know? And she like, you're right. That is true. Let me get my man back through the best way I know how. And I'm going to go have sex with him and make the dog watch. She made eye contact with that dog, Mari.
Creepy. I was like, I cannot do this. Like, and again, I don't know. I don't know what it is because I watch it all. I watch it all, but I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Dog a cuck.
Yeah, she did. She cut the dog. Yeah, she really did. So that's two episodes of this show. And like I said, it was a lot to talk about in two episodes. Not to spoil the series for anybody, but yeah, coming soon, they will talk about Gray's period. They also will talk about what happens when they lose hot water and Bev has to go now and try to be the president of the projects. Again, if you plan on watching this, all cool, check it out. But just to give you a little TLDR about that episode, Bev goes, she needs to step into a leadership role. She says she wants to shut down the gang violence that's around. You got the Burgundy crew versus the other crew, and they like, oh, they fighting. She goes and she shuts it all down. She really does. And then the system steps in and says, no, this is bad for business. If crime is low, then that means we might have budget cuts for the cops. And then if we have budget cuts, then this is going to happen. This is going to happen. We see some very familiar faces, some cameos from some particular mayors with raggedy afros that'll pop up. Look at that as well. But yeah, they get into some stuff. Like I said, six episodes in, it's very clear that the show has a point of view. But it might not be for everybody. To me, it feels like a cross between like Tuca and Birdie, Big Mouth, and the Boondocks. And that, like, it's telling a story. If you're here for the story, you'll understand it. You'll get the story. You'll if you're looking for it, you will see it, right? But I also think that if you're not looking for it, you can miss it. And I think that if you miss it, then it's not going to be for you. It's never going to be for you. I don't think it is as smart as the Boondocks, not to call this a dumb show, but I think that the Boondocks does a really good job of like really diving into some of these issues in a way. But Mari, they're similar in that they both land on, but these people don't do any better. You know what I'm saying? Like in the Boondocks, we saw people, you know, you have the opportunity to get your extreme home makeover and your ride pimped and this, that, and other, but you take advantage of the system so much that now you basically living in your car because it's got a fish tank in the dashboard. You know what I'm saying? And that's one episode of the Boondocks. So this is not unheard of territory for me either. I do like adult animation, but I do think that maybe if you watch the whole thing, I won't say you'll love the show, but I will say that you will see that there's a point of view, a story being told, and that maybe it's a little bit smarter than people are giving it credit for. Mm-hmm. But I do encourage everybody to go check it out and let us know what you think. Get in the comments to tell us, hey, I watched 10 episodes and Chappelle's lying. It doesn't tell the story at all. There's no through line. There's no commentary being made here. He's crazy. And then click like and give me a 5-star review just for that. This again, Mark, this is the second time this has come up, but I kind of think we got to watch the Boondocks now. We have to. It's right here.
I almost watched the first episode of the Boondocks to do like a compare and contrast of like, did I completely understand what the Boondocks is going to get into in the first two episodes, or did I give it a chance in Slow Belt and I understood, but I didn't get a chance to do that. So, I mean, I am not opposed to covering the Boondocks. You don't got to tell me twice. We got to force Tyrone to watch it, right? So
we got to force Ty to watch it. I'm making Ty watch it with me. Like, I'm like, share your screen. Let's get into it. Let's do a play-by-play. But yeah, Tyrone, the Boondocks does not have any talking roaches, but it has a lot of white people saying the N-word. So, you know, you may or may not like it. We shall see. But yeah, Tyrone, after our conversation, you said you were warming up a little bit to Good Times.
I'm warming up to it. I ask people, you know, to when you watch it, talk to other people about it, because I think that's what got me a little bit more intrigued by it. It's things that you might see or recognize, but you don't necessarily put together until you get other perspectives that are involved with it. And then it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So I actually, I know you went up to episode 6. Even without watching all of that and just watching the first two episodes, I kind of see what it is, right? And I think you can only do this animated. Even to the conversation you talked about earlier, Mari, about how extra animated it is, like overly animated it is, I get it. I think it actually ties in with how they're presenting the story and why they probably designed the cartoon in that form of fashion. So I think I'm having a better understanding of it because of our conversation. So I just ask people to do that. Still criticize it if you want to, but I think, you know, give it a little bit of a try for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I say, check it out. Again, this is not me giving it a glowing endorsement and saying you will love this. Y'all not smart enough. It's over your head like J. Cole lyrics. I'm not doing none of that stuff. All I'm saying is check it out. Give it a try. Try to watch more than one episode. Try to get past the trailer. Watch it and say, all right, that wasn't for me. Move on, you know. But spending your time bashing this show, unless you feel like this show is harmful. And now, Mari, I guess that would be my question for you. So this show is going to highlight a bunch of stereotypes. But I guess the question is, does it perpetuate those stereotypes? Is people who watch Netflix now go on and say, this is a representation of the Black community. This is bad for business. This is going to harm the child that comes across this. Or are people going to have a more nuanced view of this ultimately and be able to say, no, this was a commentary of sorts and it was just presented in cartoon form?
I don't know what people are going to say. I know what I'm going to say. I always try and stay away from painting broad strokes, using one thing to paint broad strokes on a larger community. So for me, if I say it's not for me, it's not because of my thought process of it being harmful for children, harmful for people who watch it. It's because for me, I did not, I couldn't follow some of the writing until we had to talk it through. The animation style took a lot for me to get used to. And just because of my current household, the cussing was a lot. I truly didn't. I was like, oh my God, there's so much cursing in this.
Yeah, they love an F-bomb.
Yeah, I did not realize it until my son started saying, damn, damn, damn. I said, if you don't stop it. Like, so then I was like, oh my God, there is so much cursing here. Let me turn this off right now. So it's like, to me, it's never going to be a broad strokes thing. It's just going to be a personal preference. And I think that's how art should be taken and interpreted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyrone did remind me that there was an article when the trailer dropped about the NAACP, and the NAACP reacted to the trailer of Good Times Black Again. And it says the NAACP was called on to take action and issue a response in an effort to gain a more complete, clear understanding of the creative direction for the new series, executive produced by the late Norman Lear, widely recognized as the creator of the original, alongside basketball great Stephen Curry and Family Guy's Seth MacFarlane. The NAACP requested screeners of the full episodes. Netflix declined. So instead, we contacted creatives, and this is a article from the Hollywood Reporter. It says, we contacted creatives involved with the production, asked them about their vision and execution. They were told that it was a deliberate effort to push the envelope in storytelling and tonality. They were told about real life events that were that informed the basis for certain episodic episodes and elements. And they were reminded that the mandate of the adult animation genre is to sensationalize and exaggerate realities. The creators have spoken. They said, listen, this is big. It is a it is an exaggeration. It is satire, but it is to tell a story. Renderings of Black lives in media often serve to buoy the artificial artificiality, of white supremacy, as the NAACP explores in this media guide. So there is a media guide in the Hollywood Reporter where they talk about, the difference in perpetuating the white supremacy structure and these stereotypes, and you know, being able to use adult animation and the media to highlight those things in a way that's palatable. So get into that. Cool. I'll probably put it in the show notes if you want to read it in depth. But yeah, people got a lot to say about this. It is a hot topic. Hopefully people will watch it and there'll be a lot of discourse and a lot of people viewing this YouTube video because we need them views and them clicks. But in the meantime, Tyrone, thank you again for being with us. Thank you for sitting through these two episodes. I know it might have been tough for you, but I'm kind of confident that you might check out the rest of it.
I am going to check out the rest of it. The only thing I just wish I cannot get over. Please, why did they call it Black again?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That gives the overall. It feels like it. Hey, this is all Black people. Like it's overarching. Mm-hmm. Like Good Times wasn't not Black. The original, so why?
But you didn't have to say it. Yeah.
I don't understand. But
again, it's Black.
Yes.
Thank you for coming Black again. Again, we'll need you Black again soon to talk about the Boondocks. I think this episode we gotta get the Boondocks out as soon as possible. So yeah, we'll do that, and then people can compare and contrast our commentaries between the two of them. Tell everybody where they can find you in the meantime.
Recap Kickback.
Thank you, Tyrone. And I'll Black again, per usual. Mari, I know we're on a time crunch for our Mari time. You know, the fans yes. might be upset to hear this, but you have an exciting day coming up.
Yes, yes, yes. I will be giving birth soon within the next few weeks. So we'll see how much I can get in here before I am out on maternity leave. So far over on the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast, me and Matt just dropped our WrestleMania experience episode. We did it live because we decided to do it live 2 seconds before we decided to record. And we had so much fun talking about what we experienced, what we thought about being at WrestleMania, and then our thoughts on all of the WrestleMania matches and then the follow-ups. But we will be on hiatus from now on. So go and catch that. We dove into as much stuff as we possibly can before our break. And you have to follow us and so you can get our notifications when we come back. We're going to try and keep the YouTube still active even on break. So stay tuned for like shorts and stuff. So go to youtube.com/@WrestlingRehapUp. That's youtube.com/@WrestlingRHAPUP. And then over on the Crime Scene podcast, me and Sarah just celebrated our 100th episode by having LaTanya Starks on, where we talked about Crime Scene Berlin, a docuseries on Netflix that was very good. If you want to talk about something that kind of flew by, three episodes flew by, we really enjoyed it. And we had a great conversation about the series. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed in order to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. That is audio only, so make sure you subscribe there. And we're taking just our normal 1 week break before we come back with more episodes. And while I am gone, Sarah will be continuing to have great guests over on the Crime Scene podcast. So we're not going to miss any. The crime doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop. So just make sure you are you're subscribed to the Crime Scene Podcast so you can get your true crime on Tuesdays. And then follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's too like a number two, because no matter where what I'm doing, I will be tweeting. So that's for damn sure. So follow me there. Chappelle, what about you?
Tweeting. I've been doing tweeting, not twerking. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Very that.
Look, to work for the community, you gotta twerk with the community. I think that's that's also a good times black again quote.
Oh god.
Yeah, y'all ain't got that far yet. Listen, y'all ain't as decorated as me in these good time streets. But thank y'all both for being here for sure. Y'all know where to find me here on Recap Kickback. I'm still talking about obviously talking to about whatever I want with Mari whenever she's here, when she's gone, talking about with Tyrone. We're going to have LaTanya Starks on soon to talk about the American Society of Black Negroes. I keep messing up that title because I keep magical calling it Magical Niggas.
Yeah. Black Negroes. Oh, yeah.
Magical Negroes, whatever. Listen, another one that I think that people might have been too hard on at first glance, you probably can't find it because it's been stripped from theaters, but I got the bootleg, y'all, so we'll be back to talk about that soon. Sasha is now joining me every other week to talk about Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, which is an incredible show about Black folk and elitism and hanging out with your friends in the Black Hamptons, and yeah, just check it out. It's a mess. It's a Bravo show. If you like those Bravo type shows, you're going to love hearing me and Sasha talk about it on recapkickback.com. Also, G and I still talk about Abbott Elementary every other week. So check that out. Some fun special guests on these episodes of Abbott. I think Jabria is going to be on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and so she is smart. And we're going to talk about it on the Abbott Elementary recap that G and I will do every week. So check that out. And then on RHAP, you can catch me talking about Survivor on Club Condo, Netflix shows with Josh Wigler on Nothing But Netflix, and in a slew of other places. I also did some guesting. I was on the Scenario podcast on a series called Still Bill, where we talked about The Cosby Show and its impact and, you know, basically, you know, where it lands now that, you know, other controversies have been considered and, you know, the impact that it had on people growing up. And so we talked about that on the Scenario with Van Everett. And I recently was on, now y'all, I should have tried to bring y'all with me, but it got, the block was hot. Okay. It was a crowded podcast already, but I did a review of The Nutty Professor. And it was with the Was It Good Though podcast, and they give a disclaimer at the very beginning that we're just going to match the energy of whatever we're talking about over there, and so I let the guard down a little bit, so you get to, you get to see some authentic Chappelle over there on the Was It Good Though podcast for their episode, I believe 99, right before their 100th episode. So please check that out. I'll put their information in the show notes as well. But for Tyrone and for Mari, you can follow me on Twitter at Recap Kickback, wherever I am on all social medias at this point, and let me know what you're thinking. But yeah, for the two of them and for me, you ain't got to go home, but peace out. We'll talk to you all later. Feel my chest. Wait on life. I want to hold my breath. I'm going to get in my goddamn self.